This podcast is a production of Journey, a church community, inspiring people to live big. For more information, please visit cincyjourney.org.
Hey, if we haven't met, my name's Tom, and I'm the lead pastor here at Journey Church, and I'm just thrilled that you're here today. And I want you to know on the front end, I have about 6.5 pages of notes, which is 2.5 more than I normally have. And I have about 12 minutes less than I normally have. So I'm not real sure how much we'll get accomplished in the next 20 minutes. But what I wanted to do today is I wanted to share some thoughts that would position us as a community as we start year two. I wanted to take just a few minutes and thank people, and I'm just not going to do that today. You know who you are, and you know what you've done this year and the role that you've played. We tried to say thanks to some of our volunteers last night, and it's just been a thrilling year. But in this moment today, I want to share some very specific thoughts, and I want to try to do it in 20 minutes the best I can, that I hope will propel us as we start year two. Okay? Hey, let me pray, and we'll jump in. Father God, thank you for the past year. God, I thank you for all that it's meant. I thank you for every life, every heart, every home that's been touched. And Father, in this moment today, I pray that in the next 20 minutes, God, I pray that you will recapture our hearts. I pray that you will give us a fresh vision for what it is that you want us to do in the days ahead. God, thank you for what you're up to. And thank you that we get to be a part of it. And today I pray the window will open wider. I pray that doors will swing wide open. And as we peer out them, that you will help us see the role that we can play in your redemptive cause. In Christ's name, amen. Hey, we're right in the middle of a 3-week series that we've entitled The Power of One. And last week as we began the series, we talked about, on the surface, it seems as though one of anything seems to be insignificant, seems to be almost inconsequential, seems to be of very little value. But last week we contended that one year, that one church, that one life really did have power. We handed out some rocks and we talked about that moment that we've all experienced, right? Where we've walked to the edge of the water and we've thrown a stone in a settled pond or a settled fountain, and to watch the ripples that are created. And in this series, we wanted to address three very specific questions. Last week we talked about, can our lives be different in one year? And the answer to the question was an emphatic, was a bolded, was an underlined, was an italicized yes. No matter where you are, what you've experienced prior to this moment, if you make a determined decision that the road ahead will be different, wherever that is, physically, emotionally, spiritually, wherever it is for you, that it could be different. That we'd really allow the words of Jesus, yes is yes, no is no, define us. That we would allow Paul's words to speak into that whole idea of forgetting what is behind, pressing toward what is ahead. Can one year make a difference in us? Can we be different in some area that may be unraveling at the seams? Absolutely. Today I want us to address the second question. And the question is really simple, very direct, and that is, how much impact? How much impact can one church have? Because I thought about how we would answer that question today. I wanted to take us to a passage in the book of Ephesians. Now, the Bible split up into two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament kind of tells the story of everything that happened prior to Jesus coming. And the New Testament tells everything after Jesus came. And there's several books in the Bible that are actually letters that this guy by the name of Paul, who was kind of a traveling evangelist and preacher and church starter, and as he would go around to all of these different cities and gather a community of believers that would begin to gather and meet together and try to share the message of Christ, he would often write back to them. One of the letters that I want to take us to this morning, and I want this passage of Scripture to define 2007 for us. Because I think it only has the potential to define a year. It has the potential to define a life. The life even of a community. So I don't know how the letters were read or distributed, but I can almost imagine Paul writing this letter back and it somehow getting in the hands of the believers there in Ephesus. And maybe they gathered over a meal and maybe the designated leader or facilitator would say, "Hey, we got a letter from Paul." And they would take just a few moments and they would read down through the words. Today, I want us to pretend, I mean, we're a new church, right? I want us to pretend that Paul has written this passage to us. And I want to draw out just a few verses that I hope will define you and define us as we embark on a brand new year. Paul wrote this: "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray," listen to Paul pray for the church in Ephesus. Listen to Paul pray for us. Because it's not only Paul's heart, but I think it's God's heart. So this would be God's passion for us. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you. He may strengthen us through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith." Of all of the things that I would hope for anyone in the sound of my voice, whether it's in this moment or as they listen to this audio sometime into the future, it is Paul's hope, it is God's hope, it is our hope that what God would do in us, that he would birth in the core of who we are, a desire and a passion and understanding to be connected to him. He goes on to say, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all of the saints to grasp." Notice what Paul wants us to grasp. "How wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know the surpassing knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness and the measure of God." Friends, here's the big idea today. What would happen in 2007 through Journey Church as we embark on year two, in light of what God has done in year one, if we in year two allowed the words of this passage to grip our hearts, to grip our lives? That no matter where we are, far from God, near to God, that in this year, somehow when we get to the end of it, that we would be more rooted and established in love. What would happen? What could God do? What could God do in you? What could God do through you, through us? But the passage doesn't end there. Paul adds these words. He says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more." Did you get that? Now to him, now to God who can do immeasurably more. You can't even measure it. Can't even measure it, he says, "according to his power that is at work within us." So honestly, friends, today we've really asked a question that's almost unanswerable. We asked the question, how much impact can one church have, let's just say, in 1 year? Let me tip my hand and say the answer to the question is, it's exponential. It's unlimited. It's almost immeasurable. It's vast. It's huge. It's big. It's what God wants to do in and through us. So when you look around this auditorium and you think about the mass that God has brought together under the umbrella of Journey Church, and you picture it as this stone. And as we begin a new ministry year together, literally we're walking to the edge of the water and we're looking at the pond and we're saying, how much impact can one church have? The visionary and the dreamer in me says, man, let's throw the rock into the pond and just see what God might do in and through us. Sixteen months ago, a core of about 50 people got to a point in their journey where launch day was on the calendar and we were racing toward the launching of a brand new church. And as we gathered on Saturday nights trying to figure out how we would go about that, we imagined a community. We imagined a church. We imagined a place that could touch lives, that could help people cross the line of faith. We imagined a church that could ignite a revolution in Southwest Ohio. We hoped we could inspire people to live big. And friends, over the last year, how powerful was the audio piece? And last year, we walked to the edge of the pond with a stone. I don't know what the next metaphor is, but this year, friends, as a community, we walk with a much bigger rock. Asking the question of ourselves, of one another, of God, God, what kind of an impact, what kind of a difference could one church make in one year? To which the Bible, to which God, to which His Spirit in the midst of this moment says, hey, it's immeasurable. It's unlimited, it's exponential, it's vast, it's huge, it's big. And the visionary and the dreamer in me, and maybe it's stirring something in you, I sure hope so, is saying, yes, I want that. Let's figure it out. Let's go for it. Let's die on the hill. Let's lay it all out there. If you're here today and your heart is pumping, and you're saying, man, let's go do it. Let's go do it. I have four directives today that I want to lay out there. There are probably some things at some point in your life, if you've been around over the past year, that we've unpacked. But I want to resurface them in this moment real quick. And I want to challenge you to allow them to capture your heart. Because friends, here's the bottom line. If a community of people will allow these four things to capture their heart in the next year, what God would do in and through us is immeasurable. It's exponential. Thought number one is this. For us to be a community that have been and are being changed. Did you hear me? For us to be a community that has been and are being changed. Now, all of us have had a good experience at some point. Maybe it was a restaurant with a product. You have things in your life, Chipotle, Apple Computer, a great golf course. You have things in your life too. And when you have a good experience, friends, what's the first thing that you do? What's the first thing that comes up in conversations that you have? It's, man, you've got to go eat here. Oh, you're buying a computer. You have got to buy this one. You're playing golf this afternoon. You have got to play this track. Oh man, that one hole and that, oh, the carts and the cart girl and... Friends, I challenge you. That's my partner up here in the upper bowl of the right, who shall remain nameless, who I play a lot of golf with. He likes the cart girls. That's how he chooses golf courses. I have a knack for telling really bad jokes at really bad times, don't I? It's a gift, you know? I don't have to work at it. It just comes so natural for me. As you look at your walk with God, as you look at your faith journey, I challenge you again this week and ask the question, are you being changed? Because friends, what traditionally happens around the church and what would be so easy for us to do around here is circle the wagons, right? Circle up in small groups and circle up on teams and circle up in our conversations. We just do year one over and over and over and over. And unfortunately, churches around the country and around the world are filled with people who have lived the same year over, spiritually speaking, over and over and over. And the church lays dormant without power, without impact. And lots of people have spilled ink on how do we shake this up? How do we give it alive? How do we move it forward? Friends, here's how it's done. It's the story in the scripture. It's what Jesus used. It's the story we see in the New Testament. God takes a changed life and lays them out there and says, this is the best testimony of what I can and do in a human heart. So I ask the question to you, what is God going to do in you this year? I have a sneaky suspicion there are people in your life that need to see the change that can take place in a human heart. Whatever you're wrestling with, the struggles, the pitfalls, the new things that God wants to show you, there are people around you that are waiting to see you changed. And friends, I'm telling you, that's why restaurants take off. That's why products burst onto the scene. And it happens in a moment, kind of like a virus. You can't stop it. It gets out of control. When a changed life, a good experienced customer has a good experience, man, it just ripple, change, impact. And it all begins with what God wants to do right here in you. You don't have to be a good marketer. You don't have to be a good gatherer of people. But man, when the Holy Spirit and God begins to stir in the hearts of people, in the hearts of a Christy Field and a Dan and Stacy Wood, and they're saying, listen, man, something's happening in me and you've got to know about it. It's thrilling that God would use us to be in the game that He's in, and that's His advancing His redemptive cause. And He always uses a changed life. Thought number two is this. Not only a community of people who have been changed and are being changed, but a community that cares for and about people. The scene that I thought about this week, and I probably told this story before, it's the story of Jesus' life. He's making his way around the villages and towns, and he comes around the bend and he sees this large crowd. And I love how the gospel writer captures the moment. He says, and Jesus saw the large crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Look inward for just a moment and ask yourself, when you see people, what do you see? When you see the hurting people in your life, when you see the disconnected people in your life, when you see people in your life that have not heard or not fully understand about what God did through the person of Christ, how do you feel? Do you feel compassion? Do you hurt? Do you hurt with them and for them? Friends, what God could do in a community of people that were changed and being changed, that cared about and for people, is off the chart. It's immeasurable. It's exponential. It's vast. It's huge. So I ask you, will you love? Will you care for? Will you hurt with people in the coming year? And thought number three, real quick, is this. Not only those two things, but also a community of people. I've forgotten it. Flash it up there, Mike. A community of people that will invest in and invite the disconnected. One of my all-time favorite movies is the movie about the Titanic. And generation after generation has entertained themselves with this movie, the Broadway show, and the book. And the hundreds of people that died in that moment, this massive piece of cutting-edge technology at the time. It's a great story. I mean, when I went to the movie, I actually watched the movie hoping that the boat would not go down. But some of the backstory after, you know, they had 20 lifeboats on there, but they only had enough room on these 20 lifeboats for about half of the people. And as most of those lifeboats rowed to safety, they were only partially, and some of them, half full. When they collected all of the people who had jumped out with life vests on, but didn't have a spot in the boat, it was close to 400 people. And as the story gets told by some of the historians, they said the boats were rowing away from this moment, and they could hear the cries as the flares went off and the boat is descending faster and faster, crying for help. These rich, wealthy people, most of them, are rowing to safety. They would not turn their boat around because they thought it was too risky. Every time I see or hear anything about the Titanic, I'm taken to that critical moment, right? That critical moment where those people in the boat that were safe, headed toward home, turned over their shoulder and said, you know, it's just too risky. And when I hear that story, I often have the tendency to kind of throw that up next to the church and say, is that the way the church is too? I mean, we're in the boat, we're safe, we're headed toward home. We hear the cries of the hurting people that God has placed in our life, the disconnected people. And when we take the risk to turn our boat to ensure that everyone that wants to, everyone that it's possible, that's open to it, that's willing, that's there, that's in our life, which we have influence, will we take the risk? What could God do in one church in one year if a community of people said, you know, I am going to be changed this year and I'm going to tell my story. Not only that, but man, I am going to love and care for and try to see people through God's eyes. What if a core like this said, you know what? I'm going to turn my boat to the disconnected people that God has placed around me. And I am going to invest in them. I'm going to love them, care for them, spend time with them, and invite them into the greatest story ever told. What if? What kind of an impact? Exponential, unlimited, immeasurable, huge, vast, big. And finally, what could God do in a community of people that said, you know what, I'm going to find my place on the wall. Love the story of Nehemiah, people of Israel. Nehemiah goes in, the walls have been destroyed. Long story short, they rebuild them in 60 days, and he accomplished that. This cupbearer, you know, not an engineer, not a builder, not an architect. They rebuild the walls in 60 days because he gave every family a spot to build, to rebuild the city walls all the way around Jerusalem. Love that story because it speaks to this whole idea of us having a place, a purpose, a gift mix, talent. How are we going to use it? How are we going to wield it? How are we going to leverage it? What could God do in a church? What could God do in Journey Church? What kind of an impact could we have if everyone had a place on the wall? I close by asking you one question. I've unpacked some things we value around here. Some things that make us tick. I mean, change lives, you know what I mean? Not frozen, dormant, old, over and over and over again stories. Changed lives. People matter to us. Connecting with people in our community, in our lives that are disconnected from Christ and the church is why we are in the game. And helping people find a place on the wall, a place to serve, a place to give, a place to live out of their talent, their calling, their purpose. I ask you this question. Are those things you are passionate about? I love the Gatorade commercials because it asks the most probing question of all time. Is it in you? That's God, answer that. Oh, wait, hold on. The Holy Spirit just told me what God said. The pizza's getting cold. Hey, let me finish this way. One more quick story. Can we just hold on for one more quick story? I wrote a sermon in the first week of October that was much like this in 2005. It was a core of about 50 people that were very passionate about planting a church in Westchester, and it was a really good sermon. I mean, really good. You know what I mean? And it was much of the content that I just shared with you. I was a little bit different. It was tweaked. But, I mean, the heart of it was pretty much the same. And our team was meeting on Saturday nights at one of the churches here in Westchester to open their facility to us. And one of my favorite places to hang out over the course of that summer and the fall was Keener Park. So about 3 or 3:30 or so, I would take off and I'd spend an hour or so at Keener Park just walking around the woods or walking around some of these open spaces there, just kind of mentally going back through my notes and preparing my heart for the teaching moment at our launch team gathering. And I had prepared this message, and it was really based on that question, is it in you? You know, and I was going to stand before our team, and I was going to say, man, is it in you? You know, we're going to go change the world, but this stuff has to be in us, right? And I'm walking around Keener Park and saying, God, man, thank you for giving me this sermon. This is probably one of the best. To which God responded, Tom, it's not in you. And it was a defining moment in my personal life spiritually. It was a defining moment in our ministry. It was the defining moment in the launch of this church. Frankly, friends, with one other occasion, it was the day that Journey Church was born. Because I stood before our folks, much like I just did in the last 30 minutes, and I just preached my guts out. And I was sweating, and man, I laid it out there, and I got to the end of it, and I said, you know what? I was walking around Keeter Park this week, and God revealed to me that it's not in me. And as your pastor, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk to this place of prayer and I'm going to get on my knees and I'm going to confess that to Him. And I'm going to repent and I'm going to get up from there and I am going to live my life differently. So I did just that. I turned around and I kneeled down at that altar there in that church, just a place of prayer. And before I knew it, I could tell that there were some folks kind of gathering around me, and a very special person in our life, our coach at the time, was there, and he had prayer over us as a team. And I stood up, friends, and every one of our launch team, all 40, how many ever were there tonight, that night, 44, 45, had made the same commitment. So I ask you, the launch team of Journey Church, as we begin year two, is it in you? Because friends, if there's a 300 or 400 people that would say, you know what, I want that. Man, I want to be changed. I want my story to share the message and love of God. I want a compassion, a new compassion, a fresh one for people. I'm going to invest and invite the disconnected people in my life into the church, into relationship with Christ, into this moment. If you don't want to talk about Jesus, you don't have to. Bring them here and I will. And four, find a place on the wall. Friends, display the numbers game. In a year, look what God has done with 50 people. What could God do with the 350 people that call Journey Church their home? What could God do? It's immeasurable. It's unlimited. It's exponential. It's vast. It's huge. It's big. And that's the journey. That's the journey we get to take this year. Now, how cool is that? I refuse to look at my watch. But the band does have one song that they want to share. And you know, I thought about the music. You chose the music for today's gathering, and I thought about the music, and I love music. It speaks to me. And you know, the music that we did today, in and of itself, tells a story. If you don't know the lyrics to "Here Is Our King," "Here Is Our King" is literally the heartbeat of the message that we have to share. Here is Jesus. He wants to bring you back to God. And this whole idea of beautiful collision is kind of just a metaphor for this moment, right? We're just trying to provide that moment where God and man, God and woman, God and family, God and people can collide. Because when that happens, friends, something unbelievable happens. And I thought about all I can say. You know, it's a song about God, here I am. I'm alone. I'm broken. I need you. And we're okay with that around here. You know, you don't have to dress up and pretend everything's all right. And the final song that you picked was Carrie Underwood's song, "Jesus Take the Wheel." And as you listen to the song, band, if you guys want to come on out, as you listen to the song today, when we come to the close of it, I'm going to stand in this moment and I'm going to pray a prayer that would be what defines us in the coming year. Because friends, what God can do in and through a life and a church that says, God, whatever you want with me, whatever you want with us, have at it. It's unbelievable. God, thank you for this moment. Thank you for the powerful words of this song. Thank you for the people that can sing it and play it. And thank you that we get to sit in this moment and enjoy it. God, I pray that these words would define us in the coming year.